Today on The Journey.
Mary applied God's word to her life. She just didn't know God. She just didn't know God's word. She actually applied it. This shows up in her humility as she accepts this assignment. God, do what you will.
How do you respond when God asks you to do something difficult? Something that could alienate your closest friends? Something that could alter your life forever? For biblical insight, today, Ron Moore shares the story of one remarkable woman who was asked by God to bear the unimaginable. In her faith response, you'll discover a way to live your life. We'll get to that right after a brief word about Ron's daily devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 reflections, you'll discover truths about Jesus and yourself that you may have never seen before. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount, and you'll find it on the web at ronmoore.org. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message, Mary's Song, on The Journey.
Well, today as we continue our countdown to Christmas through the Gospel of Luke, we're going to look at one of the most well-known songs in all of the Bible. It's a song written by Mary, the mother of Jesus, right after she experienced the tangible evidence that what the angel told her was really going to come true. This song is called the Magnificat, a Latin word taken from the first word of the original Greek, glorify or magnify the Lord. So take your Bibles and turn with me to this song found in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 39. Now you remember last time together, we looked at Mary's surprise visit from the angel Gabriel, who told her that she was going to give birth to a son. Mary was a young girl at this time, 13, 14 years of age. But remember, it was a time when life expectancy was 40 to 45 years, so 20 was midlife. And here Mary is going to have a child, the angel told her. She's in a year-long engagement with a man named Joseph. They're called husband and wife, but they're not together at all. They're living in separate places. And so she asks the question that you and I would ask in this situation, how in the world am I going to be with child when I have had no relations, never had relations with the man? Mary said, I am a virgin. The angel said in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God, equal to God. He will be God Himself. In verse 37, nothing is impossible with God, the angel said. And so Mary makes this solemn submission in chapter 1, verse 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And then the angel left her. And I always look at those last five words and just think about the aloneness that Mary felt, having no idea what was going to happen in her life. And as we said last time, Mary was the first person to accept Jesus on His terms, regardless of the great personal cost. Now, when God asks us to step out on faith, He often provides some tangible confirmations along the way, doesn't he? In verse 36, the angel had said, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. While Gabriel's instruction is not direct, it's implicit. Go see Elizabeth and check this out for yourself. And so that's what Mary does. Look at verse 39. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried, went with haste, the old King James says, to a town in the hill country of Judea where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Now check this out. Mary lives in Nazareth. There are three provinces in Palestine at that time. You have Galilee in the north, you have Samaria here, you have Judea here. And most commentators believe that the hill country that is written about here is the hilly area around Jerusalem. And so Mary is going to travel 70 to 90 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem. Probably about a 4 to 5 day trip. Now think about that. We don't know if she traveled alone. We don't know if she was in a caravan or a group. But for sure we know that this was not an easy trip. And we also know that it was a dangerous trip, especially for a young girl. So think about that, parents. You're letting your daughter travel these many miles to go see her cousin Elizabeth. Verse 40, when she entered Zechariah's house after she got there and she greeted Elizabeth, when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in the Old Testament, up to Acts chapter 2, when the Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit would come on certain people for certain events and sometimes for just a period of time. Today, that's different. After Pentecost, after Acts chapter 2, we trust in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes and lives within us and will never leave us. It's always with us. But in this time, it was different. And so Elizabeth, as she hears Mary's greeting, she is filled with the Holy Spirit, and the baby inside her, John the Baptist, who's 6 months along, he leaps for joy. Now remember, Elizabeth has just been filled with the Holy Spirit, and so what's coming out of her mouth are those words directed by the Spirit. And look at what she does in verse 42. She exclaims, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear, but why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Now think about what Elizabeth is doing. She is acknowledging Jesus as God, the mother of my Lord. "When I heard your voice, the baby in me leaped for joy." Still filled with the Holy Spirit, she gives Mary a confirming blessing. Look at verse 45. "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord said to her will be accomplished." Now, remember we said last time that Mary was the first one to accept Jesus on his terms, not hers. But again, look at verse 45. She's the first one to accept Jesus by faith. Elizabeth says, "Blessed is she," talking to Mary, "who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Mary is the first one to believe in the promise of God regarding her coming son, Jesus Christ. And as soon as she hears this confirming blessing, Mary breaks into praise in verse 46, and we're going to look at this in a second. Mary said, "My soul magnifies," or "my soul glorifies the Lord." Now, I want us to see something here in this passage. You remember back in verse 38, Mary has just heard these words from the angel that she's going to be with child. She can't figure it out. She doesn't understand it. She doesn't know how in the world this can be. She's a virgin. She gets this explanation from Gabriel, but she still can't figure it out. And she says in verse 38, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. This was solemn submission on Mary's part. Solemn submission. "I don't understand it. I can't figure it out. I don't know how this is going to happen. But I am your servant. Whatever you want to do, do it." Now, right after Mary hears this confirming blessing from Elizabeth, look at what she says. "My soul glorifies the Lord." She breaks out into praise. Some of you may be going through some challenging times in your life. And you may be saying, "God, I do not understand what you're doing. I don't know why you are working like this in my life." Some of you may be right there in chapter 1, verse 38. But that's where you say, "Lord, you're God and I'm not. I'm your servant. Do with me as you will. Some of you are over here in verse 46. Great things are going on. And your life is a great life of praise. God has some confirming blessings in your life. And you're living in verse 46. My soul magnifies the Lord. We may be living in either one of those, but here's a point I want to make. God is just as real. And He's just as powerful. And He is just as active in your life. When the events of your life are producing solemn submission, as He is in the events that produce spontaneous praise. We don't always feel that way, do we? In those events that produce solemn submission, we're saying, God, I don't know what you're doing here. I don't get this. Have you forgotten me? But God is just as real, and He's just as active, and He is just as powerful in those events when we say, Lord, I don't get this, but I'm your servant, as He is when He is showing us tangibly that He's at work in our life. So be encouraged by the fact that whatever you're going through, God has not forgotten you. God is right there with you. And He is active and powerfully involved in working in your life in a way that's going to get you ready for whatever He has next. After Mary gets this news, she breaks out into praise. And what I want to do in the time we have left is to read through this song of praise and then go back through it and make three general observations regarding Mary. So Mary gets this confirming blessing, and she says in verse 46, my soul glorifies or magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble estate of His servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name. His mercy extends to those who fear Him. From generation to generation, He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and to his descendants forever, even as He said to our fathers. Now let's think about three observations that we learn from this song of Mary. The first thing we learn is this: Mary knows God. When we read this song, we see that when Mary breaks forth in praise, characteristics of God come out of her mouth. This isn't something she goes off and studies. This isn't something she goes off and reflects on. As soon as she hears this blessing from Elizabeth, spontaneous praise comes from her mouth. And notice what she says about God. She says first, my soul glorifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. We're going to come back to this verse in a second, but right now, just circle that word, my Savior. She knows that God is a personal God. She does not hold God at arm's length. He is not someone just out there. He is her personal Savior. He is a personal God. Secondly, for He has been mindful of the humble estate of His servant. He has not forgotten me. Here she describes God's faithfulness. God is faithful. He will not forget you. He is mindful of you. And Mary says, my humble estate, I'm just a young girl in the backwards country of Galilee in this little insignificant village, and God is mindful of my humble estate. Then, as she continues to praise, she says, God's all powerful. Look, for the Mighty One has done great things. He is powerful. Nothing is impossible with Him. And He is holy. He is set apart. There is none like Him. And then one more. She says, this God I serve, His mercy extends to all who fear Him from generation to generation. He is merciful. You remember that grace is that thing that God gives us that we don't deserve. Undeserved favor. Mercy are the things God doesn't give us that we do deserve. And here Mary says, God is merciful. I just want you to think about that. 13, 14 years old. And she hears this confirming blessing. And the attributes of God just come out of her mouth. Now, how did that happen? Well, secondly, she knew God's word. The song that she sings is patterned after Hannah's song in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. Just think about that. Mary had God's word hidden in her heart. When she breaks forth in praise, Scripture pours out. It's in her mind. It's in her heart. Now remember, Mary was this young girl, 13, 14 years old. You are never too young to make an impact for Jesus Christ. And this is a time to start doing that. You need to know your way around Scripture as well as you know your way around your iPhone. Mary was a young girl. She knew the Word of God. And as a young person, you need to do the same. This is the time when your mind is like a sponge to memorize God's Word and hide it in your heart. We don't know the names of Mary's mom and dad. They're never even mentioned in Scripture. But this one thing we do know. They provided her all she needed to be saturated in the Word of God. They understood that was their responsibility. I don't know Mary's parents, but I know that they were well aware of this passage of Scripture found in Deuteronomy chapter 6. These commands that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at your home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. This passage reminds us that all of life is a laboratory and to use the natural things around you to tell them about Christ. Impress these truths on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Now, it's great to have evening devotions and prayers with your kids. If you're doing that, keep doing it. That's great. But it's just as important to demonstrate the love of Christ when they spill that bowl of cereal on the floor in the morning. When you sit and when you walk and when you lie down and when you get up, what's that? All the time. Life is a laboratory. And we need to teach our children who Jesus is, and how he works throughout the day, throughout the events, throughout the situations of our life. But parents, here's one thing that we got to have. Deuteronomy 6:6 says, these commands I give to you today, I give them to you, your responsibility, and these are to be upon your hearts. You see, there is this underlying truth to parenting. You cannot impart what you do not possess. And if you don't have the certainty of God's word in your heart to live it out with conviction, then how in the world are you going to give that to your children? My challenge to you is to know God's word in a way that it comes out of your mouth like Mary's, and your kids can see what it means to have a mentor and a model, not just someone who talks it, but who lives it out right in their home. In this beautiful song, we learn that Mary's heart was saturated with Scripture. And we know that didn't come by osmosis, and it didn't come by the good intentions of parents who knew it was really important, but just too busy with life to get around to doing things of eternal value. And I stand up here as one who tells you, young parents, this thing goes fast. And you're going to look back and you're going to want those times. when you have the opportunity to have that little boy or girl in the car with you in that laboratory of life. One more thing. Mary applied God's word to her life. She just didn't know God. She just didn't know God's word. She actually applied it to her life. This shows up in her humility as she accepts this assignment. God, do what you will. And then look at verse 48. For he has been mindful of my humble state, the humble state of his servant. For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is his name. Mary's humble state here is a description not only of her low estate as a young girl living in the backwards province of Galilee in this little insignificant village of Nazareth, it is speaking of her spiritual estate. She's going to say that she is a sinner in need of a Savior. Look at verse 46. Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord and my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That is critical because Mary is admitting she's a sinner in need of a Redeemer. Throughout this song, you see Mary's humility. Someone has said that humility is the highest grace that can adorn a Christian. Pride refuses repentance. Humility brings godly sorrow. Pride acknowledges no man. Humility seeks forgiveness. Pride holds grudges. Humility grants forgiveness. Pride separates people. Humility brings people together. Pride serves self. Humility bows before God. As I was writing the sermon this week, I just thought about how many people, how many families will not be celebrating Christmas as a family because of pride. Someone said something or did something a decade ago. And because of pride, forgiveness has not been sought or granted. Can you be the one who goes and seeks forgiveness for something that you said or did? Can you be the one who will grant forgiveness and finally let the bitterness go away and demonstrate to your kids that you're not just a reader of Scripture, but you do what it says, even when it's difficult, even when you're at that point where you have to say, like Mary, here I am, God, do with me what you will.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Would you like to sense the anticipation of the people as Jesus stood up to preach? Would you like to feel the joy and wonder as the scales fell from the eyes of the man born blind? Would you like to see Jesus for the first time all over again? Well, that can be your everyday experience with Ron Moore's devotional titled Journey Through the Gospels. In these 365 insightful meditations, Ron takes you on a challenging journey through the life of Christ. Along the way, Jesus will touch your soul and spirit with life-changing truths and tender affection. Journey Through the Gospels is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now, let's rejoin Ron for a preview of our next broadcast.
How does your current reality fit into God's great purpose for you? Because every believer is God's workmanship and has been given these good works to do that God prepared in advance for us to do. How is your current reality fitting into that great purpose? Are you doing the good works God called you to do?
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your copy of Journey Through the Gospels. This daily devotional will enrich your walk with the Savior and increase your understanding of His life and ministry. Journey Through the Gospels is available for a donation of any amount at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, for our Pittsburgh area listeners, this holiday season at all our Bible Chapel campuses, we're taking a deep, refreshing breath with our series, Real Christmas, experiencing hope, joy, peace, and love. We'll walk through Advent together and explore these core components that Christ brings to our lives, not just during the holiday season, but all year long. We'll also hear real stories of life impact and change from our own members and be inspired through their testimonies of God's work in their hearts. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron Moore next time as we walk together on the journey.